ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So the reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text 4 to 7. Okay, so I'll read the previous text and then this is the last one. Tasmin Brahma, I'll just read the verses and then the last one will stop. Tasmin Brahmarshaya Sarve Devarshi Pitri Devata Asankrita Svastyayanas Tatpatnyaschasa Pratrikaha. And for this one there is a translation and short purport, so I'll just read it. Translation, while the sacrifice was being performed, many Brahmarshis, great sages, ancestral demigods and other demigods, their wives all very nicely decorated with ornaments, attendant from different parts of the universe. Purport, in any auspicious ceremony, such as marriage ceremony, sacrificial ceremony or puja ceremony, it is auspicious for married women to decorate themselves very nicely with ornaments, fine clothing and cosmetics. There are auspicious signs. These are auspicious signs. Many heavenly women assembled with their husbands, the devarshis, demigods and rajarshis in the great sacrifice named Brihaspati Sava. It is specially mentioned in this verse that they approach with their husbands, for when a woman is decorated nicely, her husband becomes more cheerful. The nice decorations, ornaments and dress of the wives of the demigods and sages and the cheerfulness of the demigods and sages themselves were all auspicious signs for the ceremony. Tat upashruta napsi he charan charanam prajalpatam sati dakshayani devi pitriyakya mahotsavam Vrajanti sarvato digya upaveda varastriyaha vimanayana ksapreshta nishkakanti suvasasaha drishtva sva nilaya abhyashe lokakshir Mrishta Kundalaha Patim Bhuta Patim Devam Autkuyat Autsukyat Autsukyat Abhya Bhashata Drishtva sva nilya nilaya bhyashe Lokakshir mrishta kundalaha Patim bhuta patim devam Autsukyat abhya bhashata Drishtva sva nilaya bhyashe Lokakshir mrishta kundalaha Patim bhuta patim devam Autsukyat abhyabhashata drishtva sva nilaya bhyashe lokakshir mrishta kundalaha patim bhuta patim devam autskriyat abhyabhashata. Drishtva, seeing, svanilaya abhyashe, near her residence, lola akshihi, having beautiful glittering eyes, mrishta kundalaha, nice earrings, patim, her husband, Bhutapatim, the master of the Bhutas, Devam, the demigod, Autsukyat, from great anxiety, Abhyabhashata, she spoke. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The chaste lady Sati, the daughter of Daksha, heard the heavenly denizens flying in the sky conversing about the great sacrifice being performed by her father. When she saw that from all directions the beautiful wives of the heavenly denizens, their eyes very beautifully glittering, were near her residence and were going to the sacrifice dressed in fine clothing and ornamented with earrings and necklaces, with locket, she approached her husband, the master of the Bhutas, in great anxiety and spoke as follows. Purport. It appears that the residence of Lord Shiva was not on this planet but somewhere in outer space. Otherwise, how could Sati have seen the airplanes coming from different directions towards this planet and heard the passengers talking about the great sacrifice being performed by Daksha. Sati is described here as Dakshayani because she was the daughter of Daksha. The mention of Upadeva Vara refers to inferior demigods like the Gandharvas, Kinaras, and Uragas, who are not exactly demigods, but between the demigods and human beings. They were also coming in planes. The word Sva Nilaya Bhyashe indicates that they were passing right near her residential quarters. The dresses and bodily features of the wives of the heavenly denizens are very nicely described here. Their eyes moved, their earrings and other ornaments glittered and glared, their dresses were the nicest possible, and all of them had special lockets on their necklaces. Each woman was accompanied by her husband. Thus they looked so beautiful that Sati, Dakshayani, was impelled to dress similarly and go to the sacrifice with her husband. That is the natural inclination of a woman. So here, in this verse and this purport, we can see how important is actually the culture. Going for ceremony which Daksha is performing, then we see that everybody is coming there properly dressed, with proper mood, it's a celebration, and the wives are coming with the husbands, and everything is in a nice, proper mood. And that's because the culture is being followed. Now, the point here is that Lord Shiva wasn't invited. But he wasn't invited because of the pride of Daksha. So Daksha thought that he is superior to him, so therefore he thought he is going to do it without him. And how it's going to end, we will see later. But here in this verse, the stress is on the culture. So what we need to understand is that how are we going to we perform devotional service? At least this is what we are trying to. Now, which mood do we take? What we take as the means of performing devotional service? So we may say, well, okay, just chant Hare Krishna, which, that's a nice thing, it's the best thing, and in fact chanting of the holy name is the only thing which can take us back to Godhead. But chanting Hare Krishna, it's not just the activity on its own. The mood with which we chant the holy name, that's the most important. We chant Hare Krishna, but why do we chant Hare Krishna? Do we have some desires we want to get fulfilled, and that's why we chant Hare Krishna, ask Krishna to fulfill the desires, or we are chanting because we want to please Krishna? So, if we can chant and forget about everything else, fully surrender to the Lord, then, yes, then we are the pure unalloyed devotees, and it doesn't really matter what else we do, we will go back to Godhead. But then forget to sleep, forget to eat, forget everything else what you are doing. Just only chant Hare Krishna. So if you can do that, that's the best. But now if you cannot do that, if you chant Hare Krishna and then you need to do other things. You need to take care of your family, you need to eat, you need to sleep. So then the Vedic culture gives us the means by which we can perform these things. We perform them according to the Vedic culture, then we will have the best possible benefits of doing it. Why is that? Because by performing that, then we will be getting closer to the Lord. When we get initiation, so then what it is that spiritual master asks us to do? He gives us an instruction, and that is chant Hare Krishna. You get japa, you get the holy name. But then something else we get. What is something else? There are four prohibitions. Why these prohibitions? Chanting of the holy name is to remember the Lord. The prohibitions are to not to forget him. And these go very well together until the point when we constantly remember the Lord. If we constantly remember him, automatically we will not forget him. But if we are sometimes forgetting, sometimes not, then where is it that we are remembering him? So this is what the culture is for. In spiritual planets, being Vaikuntha, being Dwaraka, and being even Goloka, what do they follow? They also follow culture. So we need to understand what it is that we are supposed to follow, and then follow. Then when we know what to follow, we can be confident about that that's the right thing to do. And then we can convince others. Not saying that, I'll just wait for everybody else, and after everybody else follows, I'll also follow. That's not very progressive statement. So we have to be interested in what it is, the culture, what it is that we are supposed to follow. And Srila Prabhupada, he describes in his books, everything is written. Festivals were being held. In festivals, no, the husband comes with the wives. Everybody nice decorated. So then, what is what's festival for? The purpose of the festival is to remember the Lord, to perform sacrifice for the Lord. And then, while doing it, then how should we do it? The way we want, or the way Lord says it should be done? We may think, well, if I just dye my hair pink, then I will look beautiful. And then I can just wear some torn cloth because it looks very far out and beautiful and come like this. But is that the way how Prabhupada describes that we should come for festival? So then closer we come to the way how the acharyas and Krishna himself describe that we should be dressed, we should be behaving. Closer we come to the Lord himself. What is the difference between never forget the Lord and always remember? If we do an activity, and be it whatever, you can, cooking, it's good. You cook something which you like, and then the result you offer to the Lord. That's devotional service. It's good. But what's happening there? You are cooking what you like. So you will make sure that it's going to be the best according to what you know, what you like the most. And then before you eat it, offer it to the Lord. Why? Because you don't forget the Lord. And that's great. But what about if you think, you contemplate, and then you, Krishna, I'm cooking this because I love it, I like the most. But do you like it? Is it what you like the most? And if not, what it is that you like the most? What does Srimati Radharani cook for you? What do you eat every day? And then we may look into the books of the acharyas and we may find out. In fact, I don't know, most of you probably know what kachori is. Some will call it dal puri, kachori. Kasta kachori is different, this is what Prabhupada liked the most. And there is another kachori which looks like puri, but it's filled with dal. So there is one specific kachori in Bengal and they call it Radha Balabi. Now why do they call it Radha Balabi? Some of you probably know there is a temple of Radha Balab in Shrirampur. It was one of the three deities established by Birchandra Prabhu. And one of the pujaris in the temple, he was really wanted to do for Krishna what Mother Yashoda gives him as a tiffin next to the bed when he goes to sleep. So he was meditating on what it can be, how, what should I cook for Krishna? I would like him to make a tiffin next to his bed. And Srimati Radharani herself, she appeared in his dream. And she taught him how to make these kachoris. So he started making these kachoris. And after that, due to the Moguls, because they really wanted it, they loved it. So then they got the recipe by force from the pujari, and it spread all over Bengal. And in fact, actually, it's the best kachori. So, but he was very eager, the pujari was very eager to serve Krishna. To serve Krishna, not that he cooks what he knows is the best, But he was trying to sincerely find out what does Krishna eat. Now the difference is that when we cook something which we like, we think about ourselves how to make it because we know the taste and the result we offer. But during the activity, we may not necessarily think about Krishna. We think about how it is going to taste for us. But more than that, if we start inquiring and researching on what it is that Krishna eats, then now we have to think of how is it going to be for Krishna. We are going to buy the ingredients based on the Shastra, Guru, Sadhu. We research, then we try our best, and then, but throughout the activity, then we are, it's easier to remember Krishna because we are doing it for Him. So therefore, if we try to find out what it is that Krishna likes, it is easier for us to remember Him and to remember Him throughout the activity. So not only that we offer the end, offer the result of the activity, no, we offer the full, complete activity. That's the difference between never forget and always remember. Now if we can remember Krishna all the time, then there is nothing else, there is no way how we can forget Him. So that's the goal. That's something which we are trying to achieve. Now, how to do that? What is the secret? How can we come to the point of always remembering Krishna? It's develop these qualities. There is only one quality, one primary quality by which we can come to Krishna, by which we can develop all other activities, all other qualities. And that is surrender. By surrendering, when we surrender to the Lord, we surrender to Guru. What does that do? Surrender means that we are capable, we have some trust, we have some faith. That's why we can surrender. And based on the faith and the trust, we can follow the instructions of the person to whom we surrender. If we don't surrender, we won't follow. If we don't follow, how do we get purified? How do we progress in our spiritual life? In fact, how do we do anything? By following, then we become good at something. And that's material or that's spiritual. It's universal. Children, they are much easier to understand. If they like a person, they will follow what he says. If they don't like a person, they won't follow. We can force them. If you don't follow, I'll beat you up. Okay? So he does, for some time. But when he is not a child anymore, then he may beat us. He's stronger, he will beat. Why not? But if we develop a relationship with the child and make him to want to follow, we will show our own example. By that, he will follow because he wants to, and he can progress in his life So that's very important. Develop the relationship. And by being the well-wisher of the child, then he will grow into an adult who develops proper character. The proper character means that when he uses his intelligence, which one function of the intelligence is discrimination. So he discriminates based on what? He will discriminate based on his values, the value system which he develops when he is young. These values are developed in children. In boys, before the 16th year, we can mold the character, we can develop the values. By the 16th year, the values are not solidified. The boy becomes an adult. And if he wants to change something later on, he has to use a lot of conscious effort to do that. But if he gets the association and he gets the opportunity to do before that, it's much easier for him. So, and what are the values? The values are how is he going to behave in certain situations? What is he going to do? There's a festival. So I put dhoti on, I put chadar, nice tilak, and go for the festival, celebrate. I go into kirtan. I go and offer something to the Lord. Because it's festival, so then I will remain, I will keep the mood very festive. That's a value. If the value is that I want to play computer games, festival, no festival, I just sit behind the computer and play the games, then that's my value. I don't care. And that comes with how we make the children to develop. So if we give them enough time, enough attention, and lot of affection, then the children won't get spoiled. They will have the values which we want them to have. They will have the values which we have, in any case. So if we are giving the affection and attention, the children will be very affectionate to others. They will be able to give attention to others. But if we don't have time for them, then the children will have no time for us afterwards. They will have no time for anybody else because they will be very selfish. They will be confused, not knowing what to do. Why? Because they will not have proper values. So how to develop the values? This is where the culture helps. For the children grow within the society with very strong and traditional culture helps the children to understand their values. Developing these values bring them closer to Krishna. They may not be very Krishna conscious in their young age. No, we can do only so much. But what we can do, we can try to do our best to develop the proper character, to give them proper values. If we can do that, then later the children will have very strong basis to develop and continue devotional service. So then it comes to the point then, okay, culture. So culture, that means all, everything, the whole life, the whole day, the whole year, how we live, what we value. And educate the children about what it is. We need to find proper education for our children. And education does not mean only academical education. Education means to endeavor that the children realize who they are and what is goal of their life. Of course, we may not be again successful to make them fully understand, but we can attempt to do our best to show them the way, show them the path. So that means that we have to spend a lot of time and use a lot of effort to do that. To teach them a knowledge, a gyan, it's good. But gyan without contemplation and using the knowledge in our own life, it's completely useless. Just to know for the sake of knowing and not using it, it's just a waste of time. I've heard about a person and he memorized the whole telephone directory of New York. I don't know how many thousands of pages. And what's the point? It's a waste of time. But we have to learn. And then when we get the knowledge, then we have to contemplate. Contemplate on how are we going to use the knowledge in our life. And then apply it. Then through the application, realization comes. An example, like you may learn how to cook pasta, right? So then, okay, get the boiling water, put some salt, put the pasta until it's al dente, strain it, and you have pasta. Great, now you know how to make pasta, so you will never make pasta again in your life, right? Or will you? So you eat pasta plain like that. Now, if you contemplate now, what can I do with it? I can put some fried sabjis. Or I can put some tomato sauce. Some like it with sugar. Think, contemplate what it is that you think it will be the best. Follow recipe. Contemplation, then application, you apply, you do it. Then what happens? You will find out that one way you like it more than the other. What is that? That's realization. I like the one with the tomato sauce the most. Now, I don't like that tomato sauce from that company. Do it again. And figure out, maybe it needs more oregano, maybe more basil, maybe different chunks. Do it again. Maybe more sugar. Do it again. Now, each time you do it, you will refine the way you see it is the best. And then you come to the point that you will find the perfect way. you will find a way which this is the best. That's your realization. As you apply the knowledge and the result again bring and apply it on top of it, you refine your realization, you will deepen it, and you will find the best possible way to make it. So then, knowing how to cook pasta, plain pasta, is important for getting the realization. And then you can see you got perfection. But if you just see, okay, now I know, and that's it, I don't need to know anything more, you don't get anywhere. Knowing in the wit doesn't bring you anywhere. What's important is the depth. Even if you know one little thing, you know how to cook pasta, you realize how to cook it the best, you offer that to the Lord, you find a connection between the cooking and the Lord, you get realization, you connect that to the Lord, you are capable of connecting everything existing to the Lord. So through one thing, you can bring that back to anything you want, any subject, and you can find a connection between that subject and the Lord. But if you don't do that, there is no way how you realize what it is for. You don't attain perfection. You see, raising up children, mother, she can, by raising up a child, realize Krishna. And it's not because the child is Krishna, but she gives so much of effort, so much of attention, affection, she sacrifices so much. But for what? For the child. Because what is she looking for is the relationship. She sees, this is my child, I am the mother, I have to take care. So we may see as that she is performing great sacrifice, it's very austere. For years she cannot sleep because the child generally wakes up at night. But she doesn't mind. Whenever the child needs, she is there to help. So we see, that's too austere, I cannot do it. And we don't understand how she can. But for her, it's not austerity. For her, it's, she sees it as duty, but more than duty, she sees it as something which she wants to do. That's a real mother. And by that, she realizes what actually the relationship is. And she realizes Krishna in that relationship. So only when we develop true relationship, we may know what relationship is, we may seek Krishna. Because if we don't know what the relationship is, when we go to spiritual world, what are we going to do there? Everybody relates to others some way. Krishna is the center, and everybody else serves. Srimati Radharani, she is the real devotee of the Lord. And everybody else serves the servants of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani. But to serve, we must develop some relationship. Or we think that we will just come to Goloka sit behind a table and put computer and just start browsing internet? No. It doesn't exist there. So that's extremely important to understand what is relationship. Because only when we develop relationship here, then we may know what to look for. If we don't know what is relationship,